Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here's my feeling on the Tyrann Mathieu signing with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sean Pendergast, Clint Sterner with you at Little Woodrow's in Midtown. And it happened after we went off the air on Monday, so I had a chance not only to digest it, assess it, but I had a chance to watch all the social media fireworks back and forth over the last 3 days. When the player involved in a deal like this clearly has a column on his tweet deck set up to show all the tweets that have his name mentioned in them, not his Twitter handle, but clearly any tweet that says the name Tyrann Mathieu, he gets notification on it, then it's been a lot of fun watching everybody react, including Tyrann Mathieu himself, to this contract.
Zero doubt it's been fun. But it baffles me that a NFL player would have his Twitter set up, and there's no doubt it does, that he does, but have his Twitter set up to where any mention of his name comes up. Hell, I want to keep, if my name comes up, I don't want to see it.
Yeah, no, dude, I'm the same way. Like, every now and then I'll put my name in there just if I had an article that I wrote that people reacted to, just to see,
right.
Like, but I cringe when I do it. I'm like, oh, people are going to be saying bad things about me, man. He seems to thrive off it. Tyrann Mathieu does. So yeah, whatever floats your boat. We'll get into the social media stuff here with Tyrann Mathieu in just a second. My reaction to the contract is at $9.5 million, which the Texans were reportedly offering him, I would have been fine with bringing back Tyrann Mathieu at $9.5 million.
Agreed.
I would need more from him than we got in 2018 to justify the $9.5 million, but I'm confident that somewhere in there, that not just the skills on the field, but the leadership, clearly the intangibles that he brings, O'Brien was very, very fond of. I would have been fine at $9.5 million. At $14 million, to me, Clint, the Chiefs are clearly paying for not just what they expect from the Honey Badger on the field. And make no mistake, they're expecting the Honey Badger. They're not expecting Tyrann Mathieu 2018. They're paying for the Honey Badger. They're also paying for all the stuff that comes with the Honey Badger, even some of this social media stuff like the chip on the shoulder. There is some mythology to the Honey Badger here in 2019 that somehow the 2015 version that almost stole Defensive Player of the Year from J.J. Watt is still in there, even though we're 4 years removed from him playing at that level. The Chiefs are paying him $14 million a year, and I feel like about $5 million of that is wrapped up in hope and his brand.
Well, I don't doubt, Sean, that from a scheme standpoint, that he's still – I'm sorry, let me – I don't believe that from a personal standpoint that he's not going to be capable of playing at the level he played in 2015. You got guys – Suggs is, what is he, 39, 37, 38, somewhere in there?
Yeah.
And he's still balling.
Yeah.
I mean, so nowadays I see these guys in the league play well into their late 30s, and I'm not talking about quarterbacks. I'm talking about guys that have been playing – that played a physical position for three quarters of their life. I'm hesitant to say that he can't be the same player. Schematically, there's no doubt he was a tough fit in Houston. Here's the interesting part to the Kansas City sign, right? The whole reason that Bob Sutton, the defensive coordinator that was at Kansas City, the whole reason that essentially he got run out of town is he was a heavy man-to-man. I mean on the high end of defensive coordinators in this league that call – a large percentage of man-to-man, and he was going to stick to those guns no matter what. They've been having this conversation for the last 3 years about him as a defensive coordinator. And so now they fire him, and they bring in – I believe they brought in Spagnuolo.
They did.
And now I don't know exactly what – you know, is he a heavy zone guy or a heavy man guy? But I'm assuming they're going to want to get away from man all the time, a predominantly man defense. So now where does the Honey Badger fit in that? So he clearly wants to play in a defense where he's the free safety. He can roam. He can be the rover. He can attack the football. He can anticipate. That's where he's at his best, is when he's using his instincts, not when he's lined up in the box and he's bailing high to a cover two safety and getting deeper than the deepest.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious. My point is, Sean, I'm curious to know that the fit in KC is if they're trying to move away, if they just fired a defensive coordinator that is predominantly man, then how does Honey Badger fit in this new system?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because they're making a lot of moves there. I look, here's the thing. Like, Honey Badger, I need to look at their total personnel on that defense to see where he stacks up. He probably, you know, certainly he's the highest paid defensive player in Kansas City right now. They've shed a lot of guys who've been productive players for them. Eric Berry, obviously, has been, when he's been healthy, he's played at a Hall of Fame level. Eric Berry, the cornerback Nelson, he left. They let him go. They traded D Ford for a second-round pick to the San Francisco 49ers, a guy who's been a super productive pass rusher for them. Justin Houston, I kind of get that one. He was, you know, for what he was giving them, he was making too much money. But these are guys who have all been foundation guys on that defense. Now they're switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3, and they're just throwing they traded D Ford for a second-round pick because they're changing the scheme. It's like, you got to be kidding me, man. So that's what intrigues me the most is I'm looking around. I'm going, yeah, Honey Badger's their highest paid guy, and he might be, and I don't know if this is good for the Chiefs, he might be like one of their two, like their two or three best defensive players, right? He was probably like the sixth best defensive player on the Texans.
Yeah, there's no doubt. As far as value brought to the table, there's no doubt he was probably five or six.
And I mean, it's a big ask what they're asking.
Sean, he was not a good fit here. And I think we're going to get to that, but he was not a good fit here. But, you know, I'm going to make this point about Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I love what Oakland's doing as well. I really do. The more you think about it is they appear to be addressing needs offensively, or in Kansas City's case, they've already got everything they need on offense, it appears, that – offensively, they're Oakland's going in and bringing in free agencies, which are more mature guys that understand, because it takes longer to figure out offensive football than it does defense, and they're going to use the draft to really fill the voids on their defense.
Yeah.
And I think Oakland's doing that. You got to believe that Kansas City at this point is going to do the exact same thing.
I would think
with all the turnover there. That's a quicker turn if you're drafting defensive players, because essentially I need guys to pin your ears back. You're filling a gap. You're manning up against somebody. You're playing a zone. It's really football 101 stuff. So young guys can come in and play where it's more difficult to draft offensive guys and get them to come in and play early. Or at least it's more difficult to draft accurately with and hit the nail on the head with talent and the ability to come in and learn the system.
That's interesting. So on the defensive side, is it just it's more of a reactive thing? You know, I get it. There's a game plan on the defensive side of the ball, and there's formations, and there's disguising, and there's blitzes, and there's defensive calls.
It's reactionary.
The offense is just a lot more intricate. Kind of dictate, and especially and you bring up Oakland. I mean, Gruden's playbook. You know, it's like you're
it's a
reading
monster,
it's
right?
like you're reading names out of the New York City phone book.
Which that belief is, unfortunately, it's the exact opposite of what the Texans need to do.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to try to address several offensive needs in the draft, obviously. And so I, as soon as I say that about Kansas City and Oakland, I go, well, that doesn't bode real well for the Texans fans out there.
Man, it's not even 3 o'clock yet, and we've already lamented the fact that we need some whiskey over here, that they're going to be drafting offensive linemen. Here's a tweet from the Honey Badger. We'll hear from the Honey Badger here in just a second. Clearly a tweet that indicates that he's searching people mentioning his name. He tweeted at me this week when I said the Bradley Roby one-year deal. Someone said something about a one-year prove-it deal, and I retweeted. I said it worked pretty well for Tyrann Mathieu. All of a sudden, the dude's replying to me. He's like, yeah, but my suggestion would be that the Texans reevaluate their policy of signing guys during the season, which we can put aside for a second because that's another interesting tangent in this thing. Tyrann Mathieu tweeted this. We'll see this year when I'm back to hunting the football. This is him talking to presumably a Texans fan who is not that happy with his performance as a Texan this past year. Tyrann Mathieu goes on to say, stop speaking on me. You will realize, like everyone did, that you could never replace me. So some bold words from Tyrann Mathieu. Here's Tyrann Mathieu at his press conference in Kansas City talking about his time as a Houston Texan.
I think it's always important for you to just believe in yourself. You know, obviously, being released from Arizona after signing that contract, it's a little bit of taste of humble pie, for me, it was about just gathering myself, collecting myself, realizing what was important, and then focusing on a task at hand. And that's what I did. And like I said, Houston, they were great to me. The organization was great. The coaching staff was great. My teammates were great. And I thought it was in my best interest to take the next step in my career, the next challenge, and I think this is it.
Okay, so So Tyrann Mathieu is a Kansas City Chief. I just want you listeners to remember who mentioned a couple weeks ago that I thought there was a decent chance that both Kareem Jackson and the Honey Badger would both be gone. Because clearly Kareem Jackson, when he's putting things on Instagram, that it's 99% that he's gone. And I had no idea the Texans hadn't even engaged his agent in a conversation. Like, that blew my mind when I saw that. I knew that they would be, by definition, slow playing one of those two guys because you can't give them – they play the same position, so you can't give them both – top market offers. What if they both say yes, you know, and you'd have to figure something out with one of the two of them. But they didn't even engage Kareem. But just back to Tyrann Mathieu real quick. He didn't have any sort of emotional investment here. You know what I mean? He was here for a year. He was a hired mercenary. He was here for Tyrann Mathieu more than anything else, which I don't have a problem with. Like, that's the nature of the beast. We all knew it was a 1-year prove it deal. But the price of poker just got too big for the Texans. I do wonder, Clint, what the price for Tyrann Mathieu would have been if they had what seems like acquiesced to his wishes and engaged his representation during the season on a contract.
You're talking about the Texans.
The Texans.
Yeah, no, I don't think that the Texans value the safety position enough to even consider paying a guy $14 million a year.
I agree.
I don't think they value the safety or the corner position to pay Kareem Jackson $11 million a year.
Yeah.
And I think that's what happened. I think you go out in the market and you go, well, you're willing to pay him what, 10 or 11? No, yeah. We ain't doing that. I think they're a predominantly zone team, defensive team, which we've talked about ad nauseum. That's what they do. And it's significantly easier to play zone defense than it is to lock up man-to-man across the board and do what Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville does or what Prime used to do back in the day and Darrell Revis and those guys. It's significantly easier, and so they don't value those coverage positions the same way that other teams do. And there's no way they were going to pay him $14 million. I mean, I think the thing, Sean, that when if you read between the lines, so to speak, the audio you just played, he said it was in my best interest to move on. And then in the tweet that you mentioned, he also said, we'll see this year when I'm back to hunting the football. He's clearly alluding to the fact that he was not a good fit in Houston. He's clearly alluding to the fact that the defensive scheme did not play to the Honey Badger strengths, and he spent more time with his back to the line of scrimmage belling and playing zone coverage than he did hunting the football and using his instincts, and he wanted to go elsewhere where they'd allow him to do that.
Is that something that – I mean, look, he's a smart guy, the Honey Badger. He's an intelligent football player. He knew what he was getting into scheme-wise here, don't you think? Or did something change during the year? Was it an issue? Did the injuries that were in the secondary – have a ripple effect that affected Tyrann Mathieu? Well, I know he wound up, you know, manned up on guys at times where he wasn't hunting. You know, he was
out of position at times.
Yeah.
I think he was – I saw, it was a tweet, but I saw where a guy broke down the film, every play that Honey Badger had, and he played, like, so many snaps at several different positions.
Yeah.
And so when I look at that, ideally I go, that's not what you want a guy to do. That's not what you want a high-dollar safety – a critical player in your defense having to do. I mean, Kareem Jackson is the guy that he's more valuable because he has the ability to do all that.
Yep.
You don't want Honey Badger you don't want him having to carry multiple responsibilities, again, because you take away from what his strength is, which his strength is playing around the line of scrimmage, playing with instincts, and headhunting the football, period. I mean, that's what his strengths are. And so, yeah, I mean, to answer your question directly, the fact that some guys got injured and he was back and forth between positions, along with the fact that the scheme, it was schematically was a tough fit.
Yeah.
It just wasn't a good place for him. Now
worked out.
It worked out for him.
Got
no
3 years, $42 million.
He should be saying thank you to the Texans because, look, I came in here, I proved that I could stay healthy. And look, if you're just trying to stay healthy, let me play zone. Let me backpedal. Let me bail away from all these offensive linemen that are trying to rip my head off.
Right.
And so it was a good fit for him relative to getting his career back on track, but it was just a bad fit long term for him and Rack's defense.
Of all the things with respect to the whole saga of the last 3 days of Mathieu and Kareem Jackson and Tayshaun Gibson, Bradley Roby, all these different players who've been involved in this little mini melodrama we've had going on the last 3 days, the one thing that I read where I just go, oh my God, I can't believe that, is that the Texans never engaged Kareem Jackson's agent. They, according to Kareem, they never called him, which, Clint, the only thing that can mean, unless there's some sort of thing going on behind the scenes with Kareem, which I doubt, the organization has been over the top with the praise on him since he left to move on to Denver, thanking him for everything. And Kareem, everything we know, class guy. And the only thing it can mean is that the Texans just thought that his 2018 season was a complete fugazi, that it was a complete phony, that it was a fake, that it was an outlier, and he was never going to be. To not talk to him, to not engage him in a conversation. He was a better player last year than Tyrann Mathieu, and they were negotiating with Tyrann Mathieu. When I thought that they would be slow playing Kareem Jackson by definition because they wanted Honey Badger more, I didn't think slow playing meant just completely freezing him out. He'd been here for 9 seasons. He was the most tenured Texan.
Yeah, it's a cold world out there, Sean. I mean, it may have been, and again, we're shooting in the dark. It may have been that nobody had the cojones to be the one to go break it to that guy that's been here for 9 years and dedicated his life to the organization. Nobody wanted to be the one to go, hey, man, we ain't interested.
Yeah.
We think last year was a fluke, and you're getting old, and we're not interested. Here's my problem with the Texans not pursuing him. I would have been okay with even him giving him $11 million because of what he did in 2018. And if you think he's good enough, they obviously thought he was good enough to play safety. They were going to move from corner to play safety. They clearly thought he was a starting safety in this league, or at least a key contributor in this league. And then he goes down, and look, the thing is, if you watch the film, Sean, this dude flashed on film. I don't give a damn how old he was.
Oh, he made big plays.
He flashed on film every game.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about a guy that could more than likely be a starter somewhere. In today's world where you need 2 safeties, 2 corners, and a slot or a nickel corner, if he ain't in your top 5, something's wrong. And so he's definitely going to give you some serious depth, some really good depth that you can have confidence in. And then all the other off-the-field stuff, intangible stuff that he's brought to the table over the last 9 years. I was blown away that they didn't pursue him heavily, even at the $11 million number, at least consider it. And then, like you said, you hear they didn't even call him. You're just like, you got to think somebody just didn't want to be the one to break it to him.
As
unprofessional as that is, I would hate to have that conversation with a guy like that.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so. One more here before we get to the top of the hour from Tyrann Mathieu. This is a quote that looked a lot worse on Twitter written down than it sounded in the press conference. And we know that happens. When you read something online, you go, I can't believe this guy said that, because you inject your own tone into it.
Emotions.
Yeah, you inject your emotions. You go, I can't believe this guy said this about. And I was like that when I read the transcript of this quote we're about to hear from the Honey Badger. And then I heard it. I go, okay, well, that's a lot more benign than we thought. Here's Tyrann Mathieu saying that the Texans wanted no part of the Kansas City Chiefs in the postseason last year.
We talked about playing against the Chiefs the last postseason, and quite frankly, we didn't want to play against them. And I thought any time I watch highlights or watch the Chiefs game, I always saw a quarterback that the gunslinger really is what comes to mind, but he takes care of the football. You know, he's not reckless with it. So you could tell that he studies a lot. He knows where his receivers are. He knows where his teammates are. And I think ultimately he takes care of the football and he scores points. So, I think that makes my job a lot easier.
Okay, so the rest of that was about Patrick Mahomes, obviously. What did you think of the first part that he said?
Well,
did you think it was just sort of a – he kind of chuckled, you could tell, when he said it.
I mean, the context matters here. Yeah. I mean, he clearly was answering a question about the quarterback, about the Kansas City offense, and he just mentioned saying, hey, look, we didn't want no piece of them boys last year.
Right.
Which, look, there ain't nobody in the league wanted any piece of them last year.
Right.
I mean, nobody looked forward to playing that Kansas City offense. But I could definitely see where, when you see it in writing, if you're a Houston Texans player, a coach, if you're any part of the organization or a fan, you go, wait a minute, man, that's you're backhanding me now.
Yeah.
That ain't it.
Hey, man, if I'm in Kansas City and I were to read that, I'd be like, we're paying you $14 million a year to not be scared of other teams, right?
That's right.
But I think we can tell it was probably a little tongue-in-cheek humor injected there. All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.